Jay, welcome into the show, man. How you doing today?
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's
a beautiful day
here in Colorado.
Well, that's great, man. It's actually a beautiful day here in South Dakota as well. We had snow over the weekend. It is all gone, and it's sunny out there today. I want to go a bunch of different directions here because we've talked on our show with many people over the years, from doctors to athletes to folks that work in front offices, and ultimately even some of the folks that work in the CBD and the medical industries in regards to cannabis involving athletes. So it's a topic from a medical standpoint that we've discussed a lot here on this show. But in the state of South Dakota, we have an opportunity to vote yes to pass medical marijuana and vote yes to pass the legalization of recreational marijuana. First of all, in terms of having both those at the same time, is that pretty unique for a state to do that?
Jeff, it is indeed unique. It's a first. No state has ever voted on both. So when you pass both, you'll be making some history in cannabis history.
Yeah, it certainly seems like there is a lot of momentum for it. A lot of polling around here has suggested that the medical one seems fast-tracked to pass, but the other one still is somewhat close but seems to be favorable. What was the shift that you saw in society across this country from state to state? Was there a time or something you can pinpoint where the favoring of this started to change?
Yeah, it's been slow change over time. It certainly did not happen overnight. You know, here in Colorado, we passed the medical bill back in the year 2000, so we had somewhat of an established medical program when it came time to look at adult use. You know, since we already had a medical program, it wasn't new, it wasn't scary, it was easy to pass. And, you know, conversely, there's been some other states where legal issues were the catalyst. As an example, 4 years ago when Massachusetts voted on adult use, it was polling, it was behind. But the state police and used a helicopter to bust a little old 80-year-old lady that was growing one plant in her backyard, and that made people so mad that they then overwhelmingly passed adult use.
So it certainly comes with the conversation, the positives, the positive things that people will talk about in regards to passing it, and then those that will talk about what they believe to be some of the negative consequences from it. Let's focus on what a lot of those positives are, including the economy. We talk about how much tax dollars have been infiltrated in these other states. For the economy of South Dakota, how would they be impacted from passing those amendments?
Well, first and foremost, the lowest hanging fruit is typically tax revenue, right? Everybody talks about tax revenue, license revenue. So there's revenues in other coffers of state and local government. And on top of that, there's going to be business opportunities for the people of South Dakota. There's going to be small business opportunities. And it's not just for those that are growing and selling products. There's going to be real estate opportunities, opportunities for the carpenters and electricians and those that will build these facilities, and also for professional attorneys, CPAs, and that kind of thing.
Do you see in the states that it has been legalized so far any of the expectations not being met from what they thought they would get back in an economic return?
The only drawback there is sometimes it takes a little longer than people expected. It won't be overnight economic benefits, but they will happen overnight. These programs, once the law is passed, you know, might take a year just for it to begin to roll out.
When you say that, too, like with regards to the legalization part of it, in regards to separating it from being arrested to something that you can do without being arrested, when it passes, or if it goes through in November, how does that work with people that end up getting, you know, arrested after November, or what's the legalization part in regards to law enforcement's involvement?
Sure, that's a great question, and a lot of that you're going to see is going to be, you know, county to county, you know, city to city. I can tell you that when Colorado passed adult use, made cannabis legal, really we were the first place in the world back in 2012, almost immediately the Boulder County District Attorney, like the next day or 2 days later, he pretty much dismissed every single pending marijuana possession case that he had in his office. And I think we'll probably see some of that in South Dakota, maybe not right away, but certainly over time. And I think certainly in the long run, people will no longer have to be concerned about legal issues for possessing cannabis.
Jay Zarkowski with us here, Canna Advisors. When you talk about South Dakota, the other states around it obviously are impacted as well. We've seen that when it happened in 2012 with Colorado. What will happen to the surrounding states? Is there an impact that they see once a state legalizes marijuana?
Yes. I mean, certainly South Dakota is now going to be a regional model for its neighbors. We've seen that in other states, certainly in the Northeast, certainly in Colorado. I think South Dakota in some ways will act as a little bit of a domino to help these surrounding states, get it together and pass their own adult use initiative.
Is that a broader painting the brush across the country of what we're seeing in regards to this sort of being the inevitable? I mean, it doesn't seem like 10 years from now there will be any states that haven't legalized marijuana. It seems like that's the trajectory we're on.
It really is. And, let's put it this way. Every year that goes by, right, you don't hear about states that make it illegal again, right? It's always going toward the legal route. So, every year, certainly every presidential election cycle, more and more states are passing favorable cannabis laws. So will we have one day where it's decriminalized, if not legal in the U.S.? Of course we will. It really is inevitable. In fact, it's a shame that we haven't already, because I'll mention Canada. In Canada, it's legal on a national level, and they're allowed to export globally. So Canada right now is running away with the cannabis market on a global scale. That should be the U.S., don't you think?
I mean, that's a lot of money that you're losing to your neighbors to the north, that's for sure. And I think, for me, I've advocated for it from a medical perspective for my own family, with my grandma having to deal with neuropathy in her 90s and not really getting the treatment she needs from a prototypical healthcare provider. So it's been one thing that I know my grandma would have benefited from, and I've seen her suffer over the last few years because she hasn't been able to do things like that. And I hope many other families, if it is passed, are able to benefit from that as well. But along with this, Jamie, we'd be naive to think that many people going to the ballots don't have questions about things that they have been told for a long time are illegal, stay away from, they can wreck things. And so when you bring up marijuana legalization, I think number one, people are wondering, is this going to affect kids on playgrounds, kids in school buses? Is this going to be a problem where their kids are smoking pot? What do you respond to that in regards to relations of other states that have passed it?
Yeah, I could tell the truth out of Colorado. I know a lot of people, make up negative stories about Colorado when they make up negative stories from within states that have already passed laws. But the truth is, I'm a parent. I have three kids. I don't want my, kids to be, smoking pot on the way to school. But the reality is, after Colorado passed adult use, it's been 8 years now, I can tell you that teen use of cannabis is down. I can tell you that alcohol consumption statewide is down. Why? Because more people are using a much safer alternative, cannabis, rather than alcohol. There's been a number of other positive benefits, but basically, yeah, teen use is down. Alcohol consumption is down. It's been a net positive, I think, for our society.
And I'm going to piggyback off that, because our governor is not supporting the legalization of marijuana. And this is what Kristi Noem told the Argus Leader. I ran for governor telling people that I wanted to build stronger families and create more opportunities for our kids. And I just don't see smoking pot as a gateway to helping people be better. Your response to that would be what?
Reality is the whole, cannabis, the idea of it being a gateway drug, it's certainly not a gateway drug. Alcohol is a gateway drug.
Right.
Pharmaceuticals are a gateway drug.
Right.
It's funny, we began to help people use cannabis many years ago to get off of opiates. So if anything, it's not a gateway drug, it's an exit drug.
We had a treatment provider here in our community come on our show twice now, and both times he said the same thing. We've never had someone show up at this treatment facility addicted to pot. The only reason they were here for marijuana was because they were forced to because of a violation. It's the opioids, it's the prescription drugs, it's the other things why people are here in rehab. And so we have reiterated that multiple times. When you have a leading professional like that come on your show, it's pretty insightful, and certainly following it up with what you've had to say today, I think, is insightful for a lot of different folks. And I'll end it with this, because I think money sells. When you talk about this impacting the state of South Dakota, in 10 years from now, what will people be saying about the economic impacts if this is indeed passed?
Well, I think people will realize that the world did not end. A much safer alternative to opioids were provided to the sick people of South Dakota. Certainly a much, much safer alternative to alcohol were provided to adults to make their own choice, what they may or may not want to use to recreate. And I think, you know, the population of South Dakota is, what, roughly 900,000 people, I believe, a little bit less. You know, there will certainly be a net benefit tax-wise, and there will be those folks, residents of South Dakota, that embrace this program, build small businesses, and in 10 years probably will have sold those businesses and retired comfortably. So that's a positive all day long in my mind.
Yeah, thinkcanada.com. You guys can get more information. Jay Zarkowski joining us, founding partner of Canada Advisors. Jay, I appreciate the conversation, man. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week, but we appreciate your insight today. Thanks a lot, man.
I'm rooting for you guys. Thank you.